Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
We are wrapping up this quick little three-week series that we started the year called Best Year Ever. If today's your first week, or if you've missed some of our content, I would encourage you over the next week, maybe go visit this website, visit wellspringchurch.tv/bestyearever. So that you can kind of catch up, because really what we're talking about in this series is kind of going to push us for most of 2018, right? Because here's what we believe. We believe that God loves us. We believe that God created us. And we believe God didn't create us just to have a decent life. God didn't create us just to have a good life. God created us to have the best life possible. That's what we believe. And because God created us that way, we believe the pathway towards that best life is to surrender your life to God, is to hand it over to him and say, all right, God, you're in charge. You created me. You made me. You have plans for me. So in 2018, I want to give you as much as possible as I can of my life. And the reason we want to do that is because we want the best year ever. So we believe that you can guarantee it'll be the best year ever because you can control how much access you can control how much control you give God over your life, which is why week one, we really tried to make this very simple. And here's where we landed in our idea of pursuit of best for all of us. What we landed on is this: I am best when God is most. It's just a very simple, I am best, I am the best husband when God is the most involved in my husbanding. I am the best father when God is the most involved in my fathering. I am the best friend, I am the best leader, I am the best coworker, I am the best neighbor when God is most active in my life. And so what we really started talking about is, well, how do we make this practical? Because most is like this definitive thing, okay? And what we really realized is it's a process. God has a process for our lives of continually growing us and continually making us more and more like him. So even though I am best when God is most, what we really kind of landed on what we talked about for the last 3 weeks is the fact that a step towards most is the path towards best. Just a step. Everybody has a step they can take. You have a step. I have a step. We all have steps. We all have areas. We all have things in our life that we try to control. We try to keep from God, and we need to give him. We all have things he wants us to do. And sometimes we ask the question, so what does that mean? What do we do? Which way should we go? Where should we go? And it was very simple. The answer week one was this: the next step is the best step. Just take the next step. It's not about wondering, why aren't I like them? Why can't I get there? Why can't I do this? Look. That's them. That's God's plan for their life. God's plan for your life is to wake up every day and take a next step. Wake up every day and say, all right, God, what do you want me to do today? What are you asking me to change today? Where are you asking me to stretch today? Where are you asking me to move today? And really talked about the idea of what if you could really wake up every single day knowing that today could be the best day of your life simply because you were going to take that step towards God's most in your life. The next step is the best step. And then for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about some common steps that we take and that you can take and that we think as a church that can take. But really, the question I've been asking you to think about since week one is very simple. What's your next step? What is it? What is the next step God is asking you to take? For some of you today, it's the very first step. It's stepping into faith. For some people, their next step is to, as April talked about last week, she did an amazing job. She talked about stepping into serving. Stepping into playing your role in God's story. For some of you, your next step is to take those cards you put in your pocket and invite someone this week. Because the idea of inviting someone to church is terrifying to you. You're so scared that they might say no. You're so afraid that they might reject you. You're so afraid of what might happen. I get it. I'm there. I'm the pastor of this place. You think it's weird for you to invite somebody to church? Put yourself in my shoes. Hi, you should come to my church and listen to me speak. It's really weird. And they're like, wait, you're the guy with the billboard. I'm like, yes, that's me. How awful is that? So trust me. But here's the deal. It's that next step, because that next step in your life could be the first step in their life. Because see, I was here when it started. And none of you were. Literally, you were. My wife was. Beth was. She's back there. That's about it. If your last name was Kelly or Goff, you were probably here. Everybody else is here because someone took a step. Someone took a step to invite. And that step led to you taking a step to attend and taking a step to try it out. And you've just been taking step after step after step towards Jesus since then, and your life is better because of it. So what if you woke up every single day and said, okay, today, what is my next step? That's really been the entire point of this conversation of the last 3 weeks. And today, as a church, we have one more step that we would like to talk to you about. One more step that we think is incredibly valuable. One more step that we've seen as an organization really works, really helps people, really propels people towards Jesus more than just about anything else you can do. Last week, April talked about stepping into serving. Today, I want to talk about stepping into a circle. And you may be like, what does that mean? What do you mean circles? Well, one of our core values as a church here, one of the things we really talk about a lot is that we believe circles are better than rows. We believe circles are better than rows. Now, what does that mean? Well, right now you're sitting in a row. And make no mistake, Wellspring Church loves rows. We spend time, we spend energy, we spend funding making our rows the best they can possibly be, because rows are the front door. This is where you come into our church. This is where you begin to experience God. It's where you hear about God. It's where you're able to hear some things in your life that maybe not match up with what God wants. You get to make decisions about whether you want to change and you want to follow God with your life. Rows are incredibly important in the beginning of a life change journey. But here's what we've noticed about rows, and probably you've noticed about rows in your life, and this is the reason we think circles are better than rows. It's because we believe life change begins in rows. It begins in here, but it sticks in a circle. For example, starting next week, I'm going to be talking about God's principles, God's design for marriage, okay? God's design for dating. Now, many of you are going to come back. You're going to hear some things. You're going to say, yes, I need to do that. Oh, man, my marriage would be so much better if I acted that way. My marriage would be so much better if my wife would act. That's what you're really going to do. You're going to compare your spouses. And we'll talk about that next week, because that's not how it works. But that's next week. But you're going to hear some things, right? But then you're going to leave, and you're going to get in your car, and you're going to try to drive home, and you're going to have to fight through traffic, and you're going to have to get on 501, or you're going to go to a restaurant, and the waiter's going to mess your order up, and you're going to be mad because the other church got out before we did, so you didn't get there on time. And all those things happen, and then you're going to get home, and you're going to think about your week, and you may not even remember what we talked about in this room. Unless you've taken a step into a circle. Because for our purposes here at Wellspring, our circles are groups. There's small groups of men, small groups of women, small groups of couples, small groups of students. There's small groups of people who get together on a regular basis and talk about the steps they need to take to follow God in their life. That's all a circle is. Some circles get together and talk about what we talk about on Sunday mornings. Some circles get together and read the Bible. Some circles just get together and talk about stuff with students. We just have circles because here's what we've observed from human life. Life change begins in rows, but it sticks in circles. And you know this, if you've ever tried to get in shape, if you've ever tried to overcome an addiction, I'd be willing to bet anything that you found success when you found a circle, when you found a group. We've all heard of CrossFit, right? The reason CrossFit is so successful, the reason it's so exciting is because there's like 8 or 10 other people waiting on you at the gym. And if you don't go, they call you out. You know, I used to work out by myself, and turns out when you work out by yourself, you wake up one morning, you're like, hey, self, I don't want to go to the gym today. Do you want to go? And he's like, I don't want to go either. And so you don't go. But when you have a group of people waiting for you at the gym, you wake up, hey, self, I don't want to go to the gym. Yeah, but those guys are there, and they will mock you, and they will ridicule you, and you'd be awful. You know, peer pressure is a good thing when applied in the right way. It's very positive, and it's very, very, very good. We just value circles here at Wellspring. We value circles because we've seen it produce so much life change. One of my favorite authors is a guy named C.S. Lewis, and he wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, but he also wrote a lot of other books. And he was a guy who actually came to faith in Jesus later in his life. He was a professor, and he came to faith in Jesus, and he just really had some brilliant thoughts about Jesus and what it means to follow Jesus. And here's what he says about circles. He says, the next best thing to being wise oneself is to live in a circle of those who are. Here is the advantage and the blessing of a church our size. God has blessed us to grow, and here's what that means. There is no one in our church who's going through something someone else in our church hasn't already achieved victory over. No one. Whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're going through, there is someone in our church who is on the other side of it because of Jesus. And they would love nothing more than to take your hand, say, hey, let's go. I know the way through, and we'll make it to the other side. That's the value of circles. Now, I could get up here and talk for 30 more minutes about circles, but I've talked about circles a lot. So here's what we decided to do today. Rather than me, once again, try to convince you to join a circle, what we've decided to do is Eric, he's our connections pastor, he actually has some folks who are in circles, some folks who lead circles, some folks who have had their lives radically transformed by circles. And rather than me talking to you about it, he's going to come out and he's going to interview them, and they're going to try their best to convince you, just heads up here, to join a circle. And when we dismiss today, we have groups out in the lobby. And our goal is that you don't just walk out the door, that you stop, have some conversations, and that you join a circle. That is the step you can take today to take a step towards Jesus and take a step towards your best year ever. So, that's enough of me. Let's bring Eric out. Eric and his friends, help me welcome him to the stage. Thank you, buddy. All
right. Thank you. Thank you. Well, as Trey said, I'm the connection pastor here, and I love this series because I love what it helps us think about. We've been thinking throughout the last few weeks about what our next step could be to make this the best year ever. And so today we knew it was going to be about circles. It was going to be about joining a group. And so we started talking about it, and we thought, well, let's get some people and have a discussion about what it means to be in a group. What does it look like? How do we get in a group? And so that's why I brought these guys out, and they have some amazing things to say. So I'm going to let them introduce themselves while I get to my place. Go ahead, Scott.
My name is Scott Dietrich. My wife and I lead a group of couples every other Sunday night.
My name is Randy Krause, and I co-lead the group in Saucasty with my wife, Rita, on Sunday nights.
My name is Jennifer Croft, and I'm a group leader in a women's Bible study.
My name is Carrie Connolly. I'm a community group leader for a women's group. We meet every other Wednesday night, and I'm also a leader of a women's Bible study.
My name is Campbell Sims. I'm in 12th grade. I represent the rowdiest and most fun community group at Wellspring. That's Wellspring students.
Yeah.
And I'm Andrew Mims. Most of you know me as the rapper here at Wellspring, but believe it or not, they let me lead a community group also, and I lead what we call the young singles, which is 20s and 30s, and singles includes single, dating, engaged, everything up until you get married. So
cool. So now you know who these guys are. I thought we'd just start at the very basic. What does it mean? What does a community group look like? What does it mean to be in a group? What do we do in a group? And what do you guys think? What does a typical group look like?
Yeah, so I'll start off with that one. I'll tell you, and this is for the guys, what it does not look like. When I first joined, I was like, we're going to sit around a campfire, hold hands, yeah, sing kumbaya, like, babe, I don't know about this, you know, kind of thing. But that is not what it's like at all. In fact, it's the furthest thing from it. You know, for our group, the big thing is, first off, what's the theme for tonight for the food? Because that's important. So, you know, what kind of food we're going to have. And so they come over to our house. Everybody brings the food. We bless it. We eat. We talk about the last 2 weeks. Sometimes we go right by the agenda. Sometimes a couple has something they really need to talk about, and then we just take it from there. You know, we pray, and then we leave, sort of thing. So that's typically how it is for us.
Pretty normal.
Yeah.
Nothing weird, nothing crazy.
Weird. No holding hands.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. Well, sometimes, man. As Campbell already said, he represents students here. We believe in circles. So in students, we have circles. We call them tribes. Talk about tribes.
So Tribe Night is a lot like other community groups, except we do stuff a little differently. We meet on Wednesdays at 6:30, and we meet in these things called tribes. And essentially what tribes are is they are small groups catered to students. So each grade has their own small group split by gender and grade, obviously. So, for example, I'm in the upper high school senior group. My leaders are Brian Leonards and Daniel Monroe. And leaders are a big part of what we do on Wednesdays because, you know, whether you realize it or not, there are a lot of kids in Myrtle Beach who are lost, a lot of kids who don't go to church. And the reason so many kids come is because there's finally an adult in their life who can help them with their problems, or they meet other kids who go through similar stuff, and they go to them when they need help. And what we've seen happen this past year is that we have kids coming who've never been involved in church, and they bring their parents. So we see whole families get saved through students. So that's why it's so important what we're doing, because we're not just reaching students, we're reaching whole entire families.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you. Thank you, Campbell. Jennifer, talk to us a little bit about what a ladies group looks like.
Okay, so our group started off here at the church in the Bible study, and the church just kind of picked a table for us to sit at, and we all got to know each other that way. But when the Bible study was over, we didn't want to split up. So we started going to each other's houses, and we just kind of pick a different person's house to go to each time, and we meet every couple weeks. And from there, it's kind of like Scott's group. We hang out and eat and chit-chat and catch up on what we've been doing and what we're going through and try to help each other with things like that.
Yeah, so that gives you a kind of a picture of what a typical group looks like. But taking a step to join a group can be a scary thing. So I thought it would be interesting to know what convinced you guys to actually take that step and join a group. How did you get there? You'll go.
When I moved here in the summer, at the end of the summer of 2016, it was just my husband and I. Our daughters are in their 20s, and while they were growing up, it was easy to make friends and meet people because I just would befriend their friends' moms. And so when we moved here, I saw on Instagram that there was a women's Bible study, and I signed up for that. And I don't even think I had been to a service yet, but I immediately felt a connection to this group of ladies who were sitting at my table. And from there, when the opportunity arose to join a community group, I grabbed the one friend, my one close friend that I made at the Bible study, and I said, let's do it. And we've been going, and we're just part of such an amazing group, and it's just important to take that first step to do that.
Yeah, that's awesome. So grab a friend, join a group, right? Is that how it works? So, Scott, you talked earlier about you thought you were a little worried about groups because you thought you'd be sitting around holding hands by the fire. What convinced you to finally join a group?
You know, I don't know if there was a specific event or something that just triggered us to join a group, but I kind of looked at it, and I said this in the previous service, as it's like anything else in life. You can only grow so much by yourself. So when Pastor Trey was talking about working out and things of that sort, and I had a lot of guys in the last audience, you know, nod their head yes to me. We won't go there. But so it was like anything else was with faith. You know, I started here in the Rose, and it was something where I know I needed a circle to continue that faith and to keep on growing that faith. And so it was really just kind of taking that step into it.
Yeah, that's good. So as Trey said earlier, one of our core values here is that we believe that circles are better than rows. And so these rows are great, but it's not until you join one of these circles that you really start to take those steps and grow in your faith. And so I thought it'd be interesting to talk to these guys about that whole concept that circles are better than rows. Why is that true, or how does that work itself out in your life? You got it?
When Jesus ministered to the large groups, it was like a group like this. But when he ministered to the 12 disciples, he really spent more time with the 12 disciples, built a relationship with those people. He ate with those people.
Yeah, it was a circle.
And a circle. Yeah. And he enjoyed them. And I'm sure he had one-on-one conversations with them. And he had a deeper relationship with them. And what a circle does is just gives a deeper relationship to the other people in the group. And it's an open kind of group where we can share, and sometimes when we first join a group, it's a little bit slow, and we don't want to get over-involved, but, you know, and I think the groups will accept you where you are.
Yeah, absolutely. Anybody else?
Andrew? Yeah, so to me, this is probably one of the most important mantras we have at Wellspring, that circles are better than rows. Trey alluded to it earlier, and he said it many times, like, look, Sunday morning is great. You're going to learn a lot. You're going to see lives change, different things like that. But community group is really where you get to start taking the things that we're learning on Sunday and applying it in your life and building your faith and growing in your faith and in your relationship with God. It's kind of like whenever we were in school, if you're a student, you're still in school, and you studied, you learned, you had a lot of head knowledge. But it's once you got out in the workforce or moved on to that next stage in your life is really when you start applying those things you're learning into your life. And the second reason I would say that circles are better than rows is because these aren't just groups where you get together and talk about what you're talking about on Sunday. This is a group of people that are there for you, that know you just as well as you know yourself, that can pick you up when you fall down, that can laugh with you, that can cry with you, that can be there for you. And you can't imagine until you get into that space how much a circle like that is going to mean to your life. So I would challenge everybody here, just give it a chance. I guarantee you won't regret it.
Yeah. So Trey talked about it earlier, and these guys have mentioned it. In our community groups, we take the message from Sunday, and then we just kind of talk about it. We talk about how it really applies to our life. So we're going to demonstrate that in our next question. Trey said earlier that I am best when God is most. How do you think that relates to joining a circle? What does that look like? Anybody? Cool.
So I'll be glad to take that one again. I know that this is personally true in my life. Before I joined a CG, I was a Christian already. I was serving at Wellspring. I had already started performing with the band. So I was very involved. And I thought my life was really great. My relationship with Christ was good, and I was living a good life. And I thought that was kind of the pinnacle of that. But I joined a CG for a married group, and then I actually started leading the singles group. And I could never have imagined how that was going to take my relationship with Christ to the next level. Because not only did I do that, but I asked God, I said, God, I want you to use me in this group. I want you to use me to pour into others. And I'll tell you something. When you do that, when you commit your time and your effort to Christ and you say, I want you to do something with me, hold on, because he is going to pour into your life in ways you could have never imagined. And I can't tell you the amount of things that once I put Christ first and leaned into that, what he's brought me. He brought me, just like many of people like me that moved to Myrtle Beach and don't know anybody when they're single, he brought me all my best friends here. I'm getting ready to get married in a month and a half to the woman of my dreams that I met in community group.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm telling you now, it's something that you will not regret. Putting Christ first is going to make your life better, for sure.
That's good. That's good. Did you have something to add, Scott?
So, I am best when God is most. And so, I don't know about any of you, but when I leave Sunday mornings, I'm a better person. My faith bucket, as I call it, is full. I'm a better dad. I'm a better husband. I'm a better man. I make better decisions. And so for me, I kind of break it down to myself as very simplistic. If I make more time for him, it's going to bring out the best in me. Why would I not want to repeat that? So that's why I serve in the back with the kids. That's why I joined CG and now lead one. Again, you're telling me I can go every Sunday morning to a place where I feel like a better man and drop off my four kids to somebody else? Sold. Like,
yes.
That's me right there.
That's
so,
right.
Again, it's just when I make more time for him and diving into these uncomfortable positions, if you've never been in one, like I said, it's going to be uncomfortable. Believe it or not, I'm the introvert in my relationship. My wife is the one that walks in and says, hey, I'm here, and things like that, right? So when we went to our first CG group, I kind of sat there and was like, palm sweaty, didn't really want to talk. And then my wife was like, hey, my name's Aaron, this is Scott, we've been married so long, we got four kids, this and that. I'm like, oh, gosh. But really, it's one of those things where it's absolutely amazing. And again, it's just simple. If something makes you better as a person, why would you not want to do it more often?
Yeah, so that's good. So we are best when God is most. It's all about taking that next step towards God. That's how we get more of God in our lives. And so I thought it'd be interesting to talk about how community groups or a group or circle helps us take the next step. You want to speak to that?
Okay, so when I first came into the Bible study, I was really just more so looking for some structure for my prayer time at home. And I would get up in the morning, I would want to do it. I just didn't really have any direction or anything. So I came into Bible study, and I thought it was going to be like this. I thought we could just sit here and learn from somebody else. So when I walked in and saw the tables, I kind of flipped out because it's like the round tables. You have to talk to somebody if you're in a circle because they're right across from you. There's no getting away. So it's not that I can't talk. I just didn't want to share all my personal life and all that stuff to people I didn't know. So I wasn't too excited about that, but I did work through that, and I got past that. And because I pushed through that, I really felt like God was calling me to be a leader, and that was my next step. And so he kept kind of encouraging me to be a group table leader. So I talked to some people about that, and then they did put me in charge of that. So then the next thing I know, I'm leading the table that I was afraid to sit at. I am now leading a table. And from there, it's moved on to us doing the groups at our houses. And just the other night when I went to a girl's house, I just felt on the way to her house that God was leading me to pray with the girls about something that was going on in the group. And it's just one thing after another. I just feel like God's leading me more and more to lead the girls. So I feel like once you get in there and you let your guard down a little bit and let people in and start sharing your junk with them, your relationships get deeper, and God starts pushing you to the next level, and you start getting more into the things that he's wanting you to do with your life.
So huge step. I mean, you went from being scared to being there.
I didn't want to sit at the table.
So now you're leading.
Exactly.
Which is awesome. Yes. So here's another specific question. What is one area that God grew you this past year? What is one area that God grew you this past year as a step?
It grew me. It grew the group.
Yes. Yeah.
The group had, let me think here. Wait a second. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Anybody else want to jump in?
No, Gary, wait. Okay. The group really made, really had a touch of the Lord and was very powerfully impacted by that relationship with one another as they shared with one another. And as it became one as a group, I saw spiritual growth in them as individuals. I saw some that were very closed and quiet, and they moved to being very open. Yeah. And I saw them minister to one another at a deeper level where they started trusting one another more, and they started praying for one another more.
Yeah, so your group kind of gelled a lot. It came together. Yeah, that's good. Were you going to say something, Gary?
Sure.
Yeah.
I've always been kind of shy and an introvert and more of in the background kind of person. But because of my circle, I've discovered strengths and parts of me that I never knew existed. I led a woman's Bible study here. I was the table leader. And I never thought I would ever want to step out of the, just in the shadows, just doing my thing, being quiet. But today I'm looking forward to leading another women's Bible study group, and I'm a leader. I'm going to start leading a community group, and because of the love and the support of my circle, I've been able to step into roles that God has for me that I never knew existed or I couldn't imagine, such as sitting up here in front of all of you talking. Eric coerced me to do that.
I did. So just like Jennifer, you didn't even know you wanted to be a part of a group, and now you're taking a step to lead a group.
Right.
So that's huge. Right. It's awesome. So as we kind of wrap up here just a second, I wanted to just take a moment to talk about a couple of areas that are excuses that we tell ourselves why we don't need a group. You know, for instance, you could be here and you could say, man, I got a lot of friends. I'm coming to church. I even feel like I'm taking steps towards God. Why do I need another group? Why do I need community? What do you guys think about that? Why does people need community?
All right. So I strongly believe that we need a community. And I believe that because even Jesus had a community. If you look at the Bible through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see Jesus had the 12 disciples, and they were a big part of what he did when he was on earth. And I feel like Jesus lived with such intentionality that if he did that, I feel like it's our duty to also find a community. But to put it into kind of like real life or like current life perspective, my community, they're the best friends I have. I talk to them all the time. I go to school with them. They help me with like everything I do. They're my people. And I would have never met them if I never came to church. And I wouldn't have the relationship I have with God now if it wasn't for them. And I'm super thankful for them. And just to kind of show y'all what can happen when a group of people who have the same mindset get together. I started a Bible study the week after Christmas. It's called BIBS, or Believers in Bible Study. Yeah, it's pretty legit. It's for 16 through 18 year olds. And basically what we do is we get together and we read the Bible and we get together and just talk about it. And it's really low key, really fun. And I've seen people become impacted, and we've only met three times so far. So that's kind of crazy to see how far God can move when you just have a group of people who really love him and really have his best interests in mind.
So community is important. We all need community.
Everybody
right?
needs community.
That's right. And so maybe if we've convinced you about that, you'd say, okay, I think I kind of understand that, but I just don't have time. I don't have time for another group. I don't have time for anything else in my life. What would you guys say to that? What would you guys say to somebody who says, I don't have time for another group?
I'd share my testimony.
Okay.
And that was that when Rita and I got married, it was 4 years before we accepted the Lord. They were rocky years. And then we were part of the Rose like this for 8 years. And we did not get involved with the church very much at all. And then we got involved with small groups. And we were distant at first, and we fit in. But it really changed our lives in a very powerful way. And now we have a very good relationship with each other. We celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary in last awesome. May.
That's right. That's awesome.
And if you told me that when we were in the first few years of our lives, before we knew the Lord and before we were part of a home group, I wouldn't have believed you.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. You got something?
My biggest concern about taking time to come to the Bible study was I felt like that I was going to be taking time away from my daughter. And I just didn't want to be shuffling her all around town. You know, you're already going to school, back from school, here, there, everywhere. And it started, the way it lined up is I was going to have to get out of work, feed her in the car, you know, sandwich in the car in the back seat, and then get here and throw her back there with the babysitter. And I wasn't crazy about that. And I did feel like I needed to do it for my own good. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to give it a try. So I did. And she loved it. She's made friends back there. Every Tuesday when it was time to go to Bible study, she'd get so excited. Then the session would end, and she'd be all bummed out because it was over. And then so every time a new session was about to start, she was ready. And now that we're meeting at people's houses, she thinks she's coming to Bible study. So it's a little different now. But I did realize that if you make time for the things like this that are going to fill you up, and the rich relationships and the things that are really important, the other things work themselves out. So it really does work out if you make it important.
Yeah, and I'm sure you guys have seen that as well. You bring your kids along with you, and then they love it. They form a circle, and they have a great time. Were you going to say anything about time?
There we go. The only thing I was going to add is just, you know, we have the tithe challenge here at church. April issued a challenge last week about serving, and I just want to give you guys the same thing. I challenge you, give a community group one semester. Give it one time. Go and lean into it. And if it doesn't change your life, I'm going to go ahead and talk for everybody. We'll come and paint your house or cut your grass or whatever.
Wow.
And if they won't, I'll do it. But seriously, that's how much we believe in community group and how much it has changed our lives. And I would just challenge you guys with that this week. Just give it a try.
Oh, yeah. So, Scott, go ahead.
There we go. Just wanted to jump in real quick. And so I heard this once, and it made me kind of really look at life a lot different, is what you do with your time is what you prioritize. And I know a lot of people have heard that before. And so, you know, one thing I always tell myself, if I told everybody in here I'd give you $1 million each if you were here at 5 o'clock in the morning, tomorrow morning, guess where everybody would be at 4:45? Mm-hmm. Everybody would be here, right? So it's really, what is your priority in life, right? And so that's what I continue to challenge myself and to look at. And again, it's not always going to be perfect, but I always think to myself, what is my priority? Where do I need to have my priorities? And so, again, I don't know about painting your house, but you know, I really do challenge you. I'll drop off some kids; they'll paint. But absolutely, yeah. Just do it. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's your first time, but it's going to be one of the best moves of your life.
That's good. So as you can tell from our conversation, these guys' lives have been changed by joining a circle, taking that step. Thank you guys for sharing today. Everybody give it up for these guys. Thank y'all so much. Yeah. And so as we've been talking throughout this whole series, what is the step you need to take? What step do you need to take to make this the best year ever? And today we're saying that step for you is to join a circle. Join a circle to get around, get your life around others that will help you grow closer to God. I wanted to throw back up what Trey had said earlier. He said, "I am best when God is most. A step towards most is the path towards best." Today, that step towards most is to join a circle. In just a minute, I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to be dismissed, and we've got tables out there for you to go have some conversations with people. Take a step out of your comfort zone. Go talk to some people about joining a circle. There are a few groups I wanted to highlight, though, before you go out. First is our men's and our women's groups. They're on the card that you got on the way in. They're number 1 and 2 on the card. They're right outside this door, right over here. Think about joining our men's and women's groups. These groups are a little bit different than a normal community group. They're going to take a study of a portion of Scripture. Join one of these groups. Men, join us this afternoon. We're going to throw a huge tailgate party. At 3 o'clock, we're going to throw the games up here on the screen. We're going to eat some good food. And then at halftime, we're going to give you an opportunity to jump into a men's group. Come and hang out with us and join a men's group. We'd love for you to be there. The last group that I would bring to your attention is a group called Starting Point. It's right in the middle of the lobby. The table's right in the middle of the lobby. It is designed for people who are, if you would say you're new to the faith, or you're on a journey of discovering God, or maybe you knew God when you were younger, and maybe you're taking steps back towards God. This group is designed for you. It helps you know what the basics of faith are all about, and it helps you take those steps towards growing in a relationship with God. But I'd highly encourage you to join Starting Point. So today, think about taking that step to join a circle, because life change happens in circles. Let me pray. Lord God, we thank you for today. We thank you for this challenge that you placed before us. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to take a step out of our comfort zone, have some conversations with people, show us ways that we can fit this into our busy schedules. Because, Lord, as we take steps towards you, that is the best that we can be. Help us to take that step today. Help us to consider joining a circle. Thank you for all that you've done today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.